The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
Hello. Undisputed UFC middleweight champion of the world, Michael the Count Bisping.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
Here we go. Believe you me, we're back. Second episode this week. I am the Puerto Rican rattlesnake, Luis J. Gomez. He is the Count, Michael Bisping, looking puffy, looking like he's
been... Whoa. Jesus Christ. I say to you, off air, my God, look at the state of me. I'm puffy. I'm getting fat and all the rest of it. Off air. And then immediately you go to, I mean, Jesus Christ, Luis, just you wait. I mean, if only there was something about you right now that I can make fun of. If only you had like some weird, quirky item on your face or perhaps a shitty mustache, you know, I'd go there. But Jesus, Luis, immediately, first sentence, throw me under a bus. I love it.
I have an overwhelmingly positive response to my look. It's a cheap, easy, low blow to talk about my look and make fun of it. But the problem is I'm looking fucking cool as shit. I'm as handsome as I've ever been. The accessories on my face have sort of accentuated the good parts of my face. I'm on my way up, Michael Bisping. I'm on the rise. Now, Mr. Bisping, you're sitting around the house. You're eating bad. You're feeling sorry for yourself. Your knee doesn't work. Your arms don't work. Your ears are all fucked up. So,
whoa. You got to go to the ears. Jesus Christ, Luis, everything else is fine. Yes, I am puffy. Yes, my knee is fucked up. Yes, I'm feeling sorry for myself. But you gotta pull out the cauliflower ears. Shame on you. No, listen, so here's what's going on. Obviously, I have that big knee surgery tomorrow. And for the last couple of weeks, I just can't be active, right? And then this week, I'm like, well, I'm going into surgery on Thursday. Screw it. I'm just going to enjoy this week. I've been eating whatever I want. Contrary to all the good advice we gave in the last episode about diet and portion control and all the rest of it, I've been eating not like a king. I've been eating like a slob, you know, and people, in fact, it was funny. Rebecca, we were talking about this the other day and she said, yeah, it's like that meme. Because the other day I got DoorDash or Uber Eats three times. And Rebecca said, oh, it's like that meme. I said, which one? And she said, it was that meme. And it says, there's no such thing as a perfect day. And I said, hold on. Have you had three takeouts in one day? So, yeah, that's pretty much been my life right now. Sitting around, drinking a little, eating burgers, fast food, nice food, takeaways, whatever. But Thursday, I have that knee replacement.
Before you get into that, it's kind of, you brought up using DoorDash and Uber Eats. And I think I've probably talked about this on this show. I used to hate those apps, right? My thing is I need to call somebody on the phone, speak to them, specify something. I feel like it's so easy for people to look at a ticket and then fucking forget whatever it is. When I talk to them on the phone, at least I feel like there's a human connection there. And I really like that. I like to use companies where I could talk to somebody. But
Luis, everything you're saying there is actually the opposite of what you're saying. You're saying, I don't want to use a screen because people might fuck it up. I want to speak to someone and make sure they get it right. You do realize human error is a real thing. Human error. So you talk to them. The guy's having a bad day. He's distracted. He's whatever. He's had a heavy night. Who knows what it is? But he gets it wrong. Whereas if you use DoorDash or Uber Eats, it is there in black and white on a screen. Therefore, it's minimizing the margin for error massively.
I do understand that, but what you're forgetting about here is the fact that you still have that same likelihood of human error, when maybe even more so when it's a receipt that comes out of the machine, it prints out, there's no connection to it. It's just, you know, it makes the job very impersonal. And I feel like when you have somebody on the phone and they're writing it down, there's something different there. I'm a kinetic learner. So if I actually physically write to that, when I have to learn lines for if I'm doing an audition, I physically write out the lines with my hand. That's how I memorize them, right? Because I feel a connection with a physical connection with the words. I think you probably see more mistakes. But the reason I like Uber Eats more now and DoorDash is because when there's a mistake made.
Oh, yeah, you get it free.
Doggy, they don't give a shit. They forget a soda, $12 credit. Boom, done. Okay, let's rock and roll. I want them to make mistakes now.
Can I just say, first of all, don't sit there and say, listen, I have this very, very excellent method of memorizing. I write it down and therefore I memorize it. That is like one of the oldest tricks in the book. That's what they say. You got to make it personal. You got to write it down, because when you write it down, there's more of a cognizant connection with your brain. So that's human beings in general.
I made that up. It's a myth.
That's what I'm saying. You're sitting there prophesizing like this is the Luis J. Gomez of memory technique that is taught throughout universities worldwide. No, yeah. That is not the case.
The Gomez technique, the Gomez method. That's what they say. If you're trying to memorize things, that's what you got to do.
The Gomez method. So anyway, eating way too much. So you're right. Thank you, Luis. I am a little puffy. I'm a little heavy right now. But as I said, I'm having this surgery tomorrow and I'm reinventing myself. And Rebecca's like, she doesn't understand. She's like, well, why? And I'm like, well, because I've lived with this pain in my knee now for over 10 years, and it's really held my life back, you know. And I do drink too much, and I do want to change that, and I want to get better with my diet. Just in general, I want to improve as a person. Like, I've been a heavy drinker probably since I was 15 years old, so that's 25 years, you know. So now I think it's time for a change. So I'm going to get a new knee.
Do you get nervous at all about like just the effects on your liver and like heavy? I'm assuming you're a pretty healthy guy. I'm terrified of that.
No, for sure. Absolutely. I want to live a long, healthy life. And that's what I was just about to say. So 25 years of like, you know, I'm not an alcoholic, although I did see a couple of comments in the YouTube session the other day because I was joking with hiding a beer in a cup. But, I do enjoy a drink. I like to be social and have a good time. But yeah, it's time that changed. So I'm going to have a new knee and it's a new part of my body. This pain is going to be gone from my life and I'm going to turn over a leaf, you know. And it's funny, last night I was saying it to Rebecca and I was talking about it. That's why I'm indulging in the food right now and sitting on my ass, because I can't work out. And to be honest, the two for me, they go hand in hand. If I work out, I go to the gym, I'm nice and healthy, the diet is perfect, the diet's on point. But if I don't go to the gym and I'm kind of a slobby, I just say, you know what, fuck it. Today's a write-off, let's enjoy it, and tomorrow I'll start afresh. But I'm starting afresh after this operation. And last night, Rebecca, I was talking about it in bed, and she's like, she started giving me shit, basically. I'm like, babe, what are you doing? You should be happy. I'm trying to improve myself. And God bless you. She's like, Michael, I like you just the way you are. You know, this is the man I fell in love with. I like you this way. I'm like, yeah, but I just want to be healthier. I want to live a long, healthy life. And I feel 25 years, that's enough. So I'm going to try and go complete teetotal, zero alcohol at all. She's like, yeah, but I like you the way you are. You know, and I'm like, well, that's really, really nice. But time for a change, baby boy.
Well, look, I'm proud of you. I want you to see you be a better version of yourself. And to be honest with you, you know, you have you've talked about this before. You know, we have a pretty large fan base. You have people, you know, young people that look up to you specifically as an athlete and sort of your story. You know, there's a certain amount of inspiration that comes from that. So I know when it's one of the reasons why people are like, dude, you can't post fucking gym selfies. But I'm like, when I post gym selfies, for every one asshole that goes, oh, dude, you look like a dickhead doing that, I have 10 other people being like, hey, dude, I have a real struggle with that. You've really inspired me. The fact that you lost weight in the past 6 months really made me feel like I got to get up off my ass again. And it's, you know, so it's sort of both of them. I had one guy who hit me up specifically after we did this episode yesterday or 2 days ago, who thanked me. He was like, dude, thanks for sort of articulating that point about like food addiction. And he said, I have the similar story about, you know, eating stuff behind my friends' backs without them seeing. And it's like, it's something that people don't really like talk about because it's embarrassing. So,
That's really nice that you want to take gym selfies and you want to inspire people and all the rest of it. But it has nothing to do with that for me. I'm being a selfish bastard, okay? I'm not doing it to inspire the masses, and I can't pretend. I'm not one of these assholes out there on Instagram going, yo, live your best life, bro. Everyone should do that. Live a healthy lifestyle, you know? I'm doing it for selfish reasons. I want to get healthier. I want to live a long, healthy life. When I'm in my 90s, I don't want to be crippled. Well, first of all, I want to make it to my 90s, and I don't want to be crippled with liver disease or whatever. You know, you got to look after your body. You only get one, you know, and I've enjoyed myself. I'm 40 years old, you know what I mean? And now it's time for a change, and I'm using this surgery as a catalyst almost, you know? So, and listen, I'll probably fail miserably, you know, but still, I think the intention is half of the battle. I'm definitely going to eat well. I mean, fortunately, it looks like I've got a movie role in January. So I'm using that as well as motivation to
get playing,
fit.
He's playing the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man in the Ghostbusters 2 remake.
Exactly, and I'm a method actor. That's why I'm so white right now, and I'm puffy, I am. Yeah. My face is getting bigger and bigger by the day. But trust me, oh baby boy, just you wait and see. Just you wait until you see this transformation. It's gonna get worse before it gets better, okay? Because I am going under the knife. I'm not gonna be able to move for a bit. I'm gonna be led on a couch with zero chance of any exercise, zero chance of burning any calories whatsoever, right? But I'm going to make sure I stay on a good diet. And then as soon as I can, I'm going to be on that Peloton. I'm going to buy a bike. I'm going to be mountain biking. I'm getting on a diet. I'm getting a personal trainer. Just you wait and see. Laugh at me now. Call me the Marshmallow Man right now. See me in January, right? And then we do a side-by-side tops off who looks better. Okay, Lewis, you down for the challenge, baby?
January? Boy? Okay. So, hold on. I got to write this down. Stay Puff Marshmallow Mike. Got it. Name of the episode.
You can get fucked.
Stay Puft Marshmallow Mike. Here's what I'll tell you right now. I will commit to this as well. And the believers can do it as well. In fact, you know what? New contest.
Yeah. Send in.
Oh, this is going to get gay. This is getting really gay.
No. Shirtless tops, right? And the fattest person now gets shown. And then, the top five. But then you have to post in, and whoever loses the most weight or looks better on camera, and no using one of those apps either, we send you, we send you a goodie bag, some signed gloves, and some BYM merchandise, and we'll even get you on the show and we'll talk about your journey. How's that, Lewis?
That'd be incredible, dude. Let's do it. We'll do a fitness journey by the new year. How many months is that now? What is this? What time is it?
Three months. November, December, January.
Let's see. Yeah. It's 3.5.
3 months.
Not even 3 months. It's October 15th.
Yeah, November, so we've got to do yeah.
2.5 months.
November, December, 2.5 months. Well, I will say, what date of the month are we in right now? So we're in the 16th. So by the 16th of January, that's the date.
All right.
3 months.
Exactly. So here's what you have to do. In order to be in this contest, and this is a great moment for plugs, I'll take a quick second. You send us your before photo. Your before photo, you have to be holding a newspaper with the date. We got to see, and yes, this cannot be an old fat fuck photo, you sneaky son of a bitches. We already know all of the fucking assholes that were like, dude, I got an old fat photo. They're jacked right now. No, motherfucker.
Lewis, by the way, that goes for you as well, motherfucker. That goes for you as well.
Bro.
You got to send one in, shirt off, holding the date up. Okay, bro?
The contest.
And I'll send mine in as well. Because when we show the others, we have to show ours. Right? So today, you write today's date on. Right? You take your shirt off, you take a picture. I bet I look better than you now. You're mocking me. Listen, if I indulge,
you definitely look better than me now. You're a fucking professional athlete. Fuck you. You should look better than me. I'm a fat comedian.
You're calling me the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man over there. You're saying you're going to name the episodes. You're mocking me. You are ridiculing me. But yet, I guarantee I can still whoop your ass, beat you in a race, beat you at a swimming race, have better cardio, and look better with my shirt off. It's not all about cosmetics. And with one knee and with my hands tied behind my back, take your fucking head clean off your shoulders. But don't worry. I don't hit a man with glasses, baby boy. I'll take them off first with one hand.
I bet you I could beat you. Things that I could beat Michael Bisping in. Physical activities. What do you think I could do?
Go ahead. I mean, listen, I am not, when I was at school, I mean, I think I've talked about this before. When we played football, soccer, you know, the two best guys, they would pick teams, you know what I mean? And they'd go, this guy, that guy, this. And I was always one of the last people to get picked. I remember once there was like one guy, he was like half a cripple, basically. You know, he walked really funny. And it'd be me and him standing there. And they'd pick him. And I'd be like, what the fuck? I can be of more use to you than these guys. So I was not born an athlete, Lewis. So that, I'm sure, you know, if you really, you know, scrape the surface of the barrel, you could find something.
Here's the other thing. For me, though, Like, I'm really not an athlete. There's nothing that I can do well athletically. Literally nothing. So I have to, what it would have to be is like, what is your worst sport? Like, what is the sport that you've tried? Like, I bet you wouldn't be good at basketball. I couldn't imagine you under having the, that's just not your forte. Like, you don't walk like you'd be good at basketball, but I'm terrible.
Whoa. I have a bad knee. I don't walk good in general, okay? Everybody tells me I'm limping everywhere I go. You got to, Jesus Christ, you have no tact. You have zero tact. And by the way, I'll say this. I noticed yesterday on the YouTube comment, because I do scour the YouTube section. Thank you. The other day, someone was like, this Mike the Cow pretending to be Bisping. I'm like, it is me, you dickhead. Anyway, so you said on the other show, yeah, I'm not an athlete. You know, I'm not physically gifted. And somebody commented and said, Lewis, what are you talking about? You're not physically gifted. You are 100% able-bodied. There's so many people out there with disabilities and things like that, and you're undermining their plight and suffering. And I thought, you know what? You're right, because Lewis always trades on this fact, I'm not an athlete. You are physically gifted, all the rest of it. No, I wasn't, as I just said earlier, but I transformed myself. I trained. It's a work in progress. So don't sit there and say that shit. That's because you've chose a life that doesn't involve physical activity. Okay. The only thing you exercise is your jaw, right? That is not something you can use as an excuse, Lewis.
Was that a gay joke, dude? Fucking lowbrow, low hanging fruit. All right, dude. I get where we're at right now. Edit that out. He's not calling me gay on this show. It's done. It's an edit right there.
I got to say, Lewis, that was fast. That was a good one. I like it.
Listen. First of all, whoever said that, you know, you are physically gifted. You're not in a wheelchair. No, motherfucker, that's not a gift. That is just life. Most people can walk, okay? It is unfortunate that some people can't walk, but I wouldn't say that they are the only physically ungifted people in the world. Walking, maybe we take it for granted. Seeing, we take it for granted. All these things, they're not gifts. They are something that we're born with. It is just, we breathe air. That's just the way it works. And when I say physically gifted.
Once again, taking, you're talking about me, low-hanging fruit, walking. I can't do that properly right now. Seeing, you know, I've only got one fucking eye. Jesus Christ, Lewis, take it easy. But carry on with your preachy point. Go ahead.
The point that I'm making is that you know what I'm making. The guy knows what I'm saying. The guy's being an asshole. That's the problem. Here's the problem with people. Everyone wants to just pick apart words. Like, dude, you know what I'm saying. When I say physically gifted, I mean he's a fucking athlete. I mean he was able to get into the UFC. You have to be physically gifted or have a WWE contract that makes you world famous in order to get into the UFC. That's the only two ways to do it, okay? So don't fucking tell me.
Hey, your words, buddy, not mine. Your words, not mine. You know, it's funny that you mentioned WWE there because we didn't speak about this at all. But there's been a lot of combat sports athletes going over there recently. Tyson Fury, Cain Velasquez. I mean, I know we spoke about Cain Velasquez, you know, going into the wrestling world. That's been well documented. Now he's fully over there. And I think he was wrestling, because I'm not the biggest wrestling fan, as we know, but I saw him wrestling Brock Lesnar, I think. I saw pictures of that, right? But what surprised me is seeing goddamn Tyson Fury in there. How did this happen?
I don't know. I mean, I think the Tyson Fury thing is, if I'm not mistaken, I'm sure Harrington's a big fucking homeless nerd. So Harrington, you probably have these discussions in a bus depot every morning with somebody. Tyson Fury, this is sort of a one-off. He's not actually joining the WWE, correct?
Stop. It's funny that you say saw them in a bus depot, because the other night I was watching on Harrington's Instagram and it was hilarious. We actually messaged back and forth a few times. He was filming a bunch of guys dancing and hanging out in the subways. So he does frequent these places, right, Harrington?
It was his living room, technically.
Yeah, man, it was relaxing. They stole my chair. Kind of sucked, but you know.
You're like, hey, buddies, I'm trying to sleep here. Can you guys go down there a little?
It was funny though. But go on, explain the Tyson Fury thing, please.
So Tyson Fury was ringside for the SmackDown debut on Fox. It was like a big deal for the WWE, and he got into it with the biggest like giant heel in the company, and they're just arguing back and forth about who's going to hit harder. So they have this big event in Saudi Arabia, one-off thing. They're just going to, you know, do a thing. But Cain Velasquez is joining full-time.
Well, who's the guy that Tyson Fury is going to wrestle?
Braun Strowman.
Pull up a picture of him. I'd like to see it. We have video.
Yeah, so Tyson Fury, I think Fury is 6'9", and this guy looks about 6'9" as well, because there didn't seem to be much between them. But obviously, this one guy, Braun, whatever his name is, he is jacked. I mean, he's probably on every steroid under the sun. Whereas we know Tyson Fury isn't exactly, a bronze Adonis with his shirt off. Fucking hell of a boxer, mind you, though.
Well, that's the other thing now. In the WWE, I think Cain Velasquez, this guy's a big motherfucker. Wow.
That's what I'm saying, because you see it, because Fury's 6'9". So therefore, that man's gigantic.
Yeah. I mean, it's all fun. Good for him. We saw this happen years ago with Mayweather, I think with Tyson as well. He did some WWF stuff back in the day. So it's not crazy for boxers to jump in there. Mayweather was feuding with the Big Show. Big Show's basically as big as that guy, maybe even bigger. And it was little Mayweather, and they had a whole thing where, he came in and he used his speed. It was actually pretty cool. Not for nothing, I don't hate on it. It is entertainment. My problem with it, there we go. Mayweather in the Big Show. Look at this. It looks like a fly landed on his back.
It really does, kind of. I don't hate on this either. In fact, I hate on this way less than actual wrestling, because I find, that grown men, I mean, I like the fact that children like wrestling, and men maybe take their kids, whatever. I get all that. But when I see grown men being super passionate about professional wrestling, at least I get the fun element of it. To a certain degree, I don't get it. But when I see, boxers coming over and, that's true entertainment. That does make it funny. It's definitely a spectacle, and they're having a laugh, right? But when it's just two wrestlers and they're doing all that theatrics, I'm like, dude, you need to fucking grow up. You need to get a grip, okay? Right? If you're 40 years old and you're into that shit, I don't give a fuck if I'm alienating half of the listeners right now. You need to get a fucking hold of yourself. Take a long look in the fucking mirror, okay? It is two men in Lycra pretending to be badasses with 80s perms. It's
telling great stories.
Dog shit.
It is
dog shit, bro.
I'm not into wrestling as an adult now, but I will say I have a new level of respect for it, because at Skankfest last year, we did that bit where me and Harrington fought, and at the end of it, one of the wrestlers from Capital Wrestling, it was during their wrestling show at Skankfest. One of their wrestlers came out, but you can even pull it up and show Mike. I don't know if you actually saw it, but we choreographed, and I went to a wrestling school, and what they do, it's actually lost. They don't really articulate it well to people, like what they're actually doing and how physically gifted you have to be to do some of the things that they do. It's like the problem with it when you have Cain Velasquez and Brock Lesnar at a mock press conference and they're jawing and they're talking shit. And it's like, as an adult, you're like, guys, we all know it's fake. It's just like, it's such a silly thing. It's kind of hard to disconnect from the silliness.
But here's the thing. If you listen to what I said, I have no problem with the wrestlers doing it. I mean, God forbid. I mean, listen, I'm all happy for people making money and being successful. And Cain Velasquez, I am so happy for him. Tyson Fury, I think it's so cool. Go out there, make money, get more famous, and try and turn that. Who knows, you'll end up doing movies and whatnot. I think that's incredible. And I know it's very, very tough on the body. I mean, come on, we've all seen The Wrestler, which obviously, of course, is a fictional thing, but it does highlight kind of what a lot of wrestlers go through. And it's well documented that it's incredibly dangerous for the bodies, and they end up addicted to painkillers and all kinds of stuff. Oh my God, look at this. There he is. There's Lewis. Yeah, baby. Look at you.
Do we really
the face.
Do we really fucking do? It's pretty cool. Watch. No, you can keep it going. It's fine.
Yeah, keep playing it. I want to see this. I haven't seen it. Fair play, Lewis. This looks good.
Keep it going.
Oh, nice. Lewis is like, keep it going. This is my finest hour. I look pretty good.
No, he had to choke slam me. Fast forward it to where he chokes. He choke slams me through a fucking door. Watch. Fast forward it. It's fine. The whole thing was pretty fun, dude. And it's silly, but it hurts. Like, all right, good timing, guys.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, listen, that's what I'm saying. I mean, in this scenario, I mean, of course, you've got your podcast crew there and all the rest of it. That's a lot of fun. It's great. It's hilarious. I'm just saying, on a grand scheme of things, it's fun. I remember I loved wrestling when I was a kid, although we never had it because we never had cable, Sky TV or cable, satellite. But I was aware of its existence, Hulk Hogan, the Ultimate Warrior, all those guys. I loved it. Whenever I could get a hold of it, we'd borrow it on VHS and stuff. It was fucking awesome. I loved it. But now as a grown man, I'm not interested in seeing two guys toy fighting. Kids, I understand why they like it. And I understand there's some nostalgia as they grow up. They grew up watching it, so they like it still. There's a bit of nostalgia there. But, I also do kind of raise an eyebrow when I see a grown man that's passionate and arguing about it on Twitter, arguing about wrestlers and who's going to win. I think, wow.
You do the people's eyebrow when people talk about wrestling? That's a thing. Bisping says, know your damn role. Also, I never noticed how tiny your eyebrows are. That's hilarious. You have little dainty eyebrows.
What's wrong with my eyebrows? Bro. What now is, hold on, so hold on. It's the face, it's the knee, it's the eye. Even my eyebrows have no fucking escape. Listen, Jesus Christ, you're hardly anyone to talk about eyebrows. Let's take the glasses off. Let's have a look at the eyebrows.
Oh my God, this is the first time I've seen the world not yellow in a month. This is crazy.
You dye your eyebrows, Lewis? Why? No, hold on, you've got some kind of shading or pencil work or some kind of mascara or something going on there. Oh my God, you're wearing makeup.
Thank you for the compliment. See, that's where Michael Bisping is attracted to me. It was articulated there just now because he thinks I look so good that I'm wearing makeup right now and that this could not be possibly natural. But oh no, my friend, this is a real deal.
You're starting to turn into the V from Vendetta guy. That's what you're going to look like, but like a porno version.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
All right, Mike, let's just take a quick second and talk about Blue Chew, which is an incredible sponsor. Blue Chew is essentially a performance enhancement drug for the bedroom, okay? If you want to get a couple extra rounds in, maybe on a special night coming up, an anniversary. This isn't for people that are just having erectile dysfunction, which you can help with that as well. But this is for people that want to spice it up in the bedroom. Maybe you've been married for a long time, and it's just not as saucy as it used to be. This is what I use it for, because I'm Puerto Rican Italian. Okay, we have libidos through the roof. Okay, there's no problem there. But I'll tell you, when I impress a chick, I take a Blue Chew, go right in there, and have an amazing time all night long. Mike, I'm going to tell you right now, here's the best part of all. Because, see, Bisping doesn't like talking about this, okay? He doesn't like talking about it. He doesn't want to go and say, hey, Doc, I want to get a Blue Chew. That's not going to happen. This is made for guys like you, because he's got a lot of bravado. He's a very, you know, manly man. You don't have to do anything. You can go on the website, bluechew.com. You can just fill out a little questionnaire. They send it right to your door in discreet packaging.
Yeah, I just don't want to talk about my sex life with my wife on a podcast for the world to hear. I mean, that's all it is, to be honest. But if I did need such a thing, which incidentally, I do not, but I do know for a fact, and this is true, that Lewis loves the Blue Chew, okay?
I love it.
He's like, holy shit, you got to try it, Mike. It's the best thing ever.
Right? I take it before the show every week.
You say you're Italian, Puerto Rican, you guys have libido. I have never heard you tell, because obviously, you know, Lewis is young, free, and single these days. He's playing the market. He's having a good time. And every time there's a Blue Chew involved, and if you are such a stallion, and then you're taking a Blue Chew, my God, I mean, no wonder you have that, those shiny eyebrows and that bald head and that look of smugness about you these days. You're really chewing it and doing it. You know, they have the same ingredient as Viagra and Cialis. You can take it on a full or an empty stomach. They work quick. No need to see a doctor, any of that stuff. You've heard it a million times. So, of course, we have a deal for you. Go to bluechew.com and you will get your first order for free when you use the promo code BELIEVE, bluechew.com. First order for free, just pay $5 shipping, BLUEchew.com, bluechew.com, promo code BELIEVE. All right, let's get back into it. What's going on? What are we talking about? We've just rambled for a bit. It was good. I enjoy it though.
Well, do you want to, we did pull up some videos of the actual surgery that you're getting this Thursday. So we will be taking a few days off. Maybe depending if you're laid up and feeling up to it, we might get another episode in this week. But are you nervous? Do you get nervous with surgeries?
So no, not really. I remember when I first had my eye surgery, the scleral buccal surgery was, it was gross. And I looked at it afterwards online and I saw a video of it and I was like, oh my God. And I could go into detail about the surgeries one day, the eye surgeries, they were horrible, but is this the knee one? Yeah. So I was they're slicing the leg open now. I mean, look at this.
Oh my gosh, stop. Looks like a vagina. That literally looked like, go back. That was kind of hot. Hell yeah.
I'm trying not to laugh. No, this is the thing. So I didn't do that with my eye surgery. And then afterwards, when I did see it, I was like, oh God, I'm glad I never did that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But last week I was getting a haircut and I was bored and I thought, I'll take a look. And it was that one there that I saw and I got probably not that far. And I thought, what am I doing? And I turned it off, you know, but then last night somebody sent me a picture via Instagram, somebody with a gold insert. So that's what I posted on Instagram last night. Cause I just thought that was interesting. It was gold in there. Yeah, there it is. And of course, I mean, apparently the gold ones last way longer because I'm going to need what they call a revision, basically another knee replacement in about 10, 12 years because I'm so young. But apparently the gold ones last way longer. So
why don't you get a gold one?
I'm gonna have to have a little fucking chat with my surgeon and say, "Yo, what the fuck? You know, I'm a Hall of Famer. You think I can't afford gold knees? Come on, dog."
He's gonna look at Mike Bisping. It says Audi on his knee.
I don't get it
because you get downgraded to the Audi versus the.
What's wrong with my Audi?
Want the Maserati of kneecaps, baby boy? You gonna go get a fucking Audi kneecap? Come on.
Bro, I actually said to myself last night, right? I'm only driving Audis from now on. They're the best cars on the market. I swear to God, right? You as a man that doesn't drive cars, you don't understand. Audis are sick. The Maserati was a pain in the fucking ass. Honestly, it was so many problems. Scraping every time I went over a speed bump. You heard all those noises. It was a ball ache. With the Audi, it drives like a dream. I love it. I'm sticking to the Audi. Anyway.
I'm in your head about that, though. Every time you get behind the Audi, you tap the wheel and go, "I don't know what he's talking about. This is a nice car."
Solid build. I mean, yeah. You know, I mean, good working class car, there's nothing wrong with it. Fuck you, Lewis. No, it's a luxury car. It's this fucking supercharged Audi S6. I mean, that's a nice car. You're talking $100,000 for that baby boy.
You're defending your nice car that I literally couldn't afford. And it's just so funny to me that I've rented a space in your head about your car.
No. I remember my mate Blanky, one of my best mates in the world. And he's a mechanic and he loves cars. And I remember, what car did I have? I can't forget. I had a nice car and a similar type thing. I got rid of that and you should never buy brand new cars. We all know this. It's a stupid investment. But I was young, you know, money was coming in thick and fast in the UFC. It was in my early days and whatnot. I was like, oh, this is great. So I got a brand new Mercedes, you know, a Mercedes E350, brand new. Nice car, right? And Blanky, God bless him, you know what I mean? He's a mechanic. He can't afford something like that. I think he drove like a Vauxhall Vectra. Again, decent car. But he got in my car one day. He's like, "Yeah, what are you driving, Mick?" I'm like, "What do you mean?" He said, "This is bog standard. You shouldn't be driving this." I'm like, "What the fuck are you talking about? This is a nice car. It's a brand new Mercedes." He's like, "No, but you're in the UFC, man. You should be driving something better than this." I'm like, "Well, no, I fucking shouldn't, okay? You get back in your Vauxhall and fuck off." Love you, by the way, Blanky.
Dude, I want to get Blanky on the podcast. Sounds like a real ass dude.
Oh, we got to get Blanky on one time. Blanky is hilarious. Oh, my God. And I don't have to tell him to shut the fuck up, though, because, you know, he's been there for a long time. We got some stories.
It will not be a live stream. There'll be a lot of editing in that one. So, look, we got we have some MMA news we got to get into because we can only do about an hour and a half on today's show, and I want to get to everything here. There's a handful of stuff that's been going on. Obviously, UFC Boston this weekend. We're going to get into that, maybe do some picks toward the end of the show. But where do you want to start here? I mean, there's some bookings that have been happening very, very interesting out of the UFC. Fedor versus Rampage is happening New Year's Eve weekend, the 29th of December. I guess it's Bellator Ryzen cross promotion.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great fight. I mean, Ryzen, so that'll be the Fedor side. Obviously, Rampage is with Bellator.
I thought they were both. I know there's been talks.
But I mean, who knows? Who cares about the politics side of it? All I care about is that that's an amazing fight. I'm not bothered how they're doing it, how Scott Coker or Ryzen or whatever. I'm not interested in the terms, but it's really cool. Obviously, Rampage and Fedor, they were both fighting at the same time in Pride. That's when Fedor was at his absolute peak. And Rampage was, you know, putting on sensational performances as well. And both these guys, you know, I mean, yeah, it's one of those fights. It's two legends of yesteryear, you know, going at it. You know, not putting either of them out of pasture, but that's kind of how it is. But there's still a real sense of nostalgia to the fight, you know, and I think that will attract a lot of people. I mean, Rampage is a fan favorite. Anyone that knows anything about mixed martial arts knows that Fedor, even to this day, where he's a little bit older and he's been beat a few times, he's still fun to watch. Even in that Bellator Grand Prix, you know, some of his fights were fucking electric, you know. So, I think it's awesome and can't wait to see it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a fight that makes sense. You know, both legends, both guys coming. I was literally when they said this fight was happening, I don't know why in my head I thought this already happened at one point in the past. But No, not at all. I mean, Fedor, his whole career spent at heavyweight. Rampage, I think, started fighting heavyweight recently after the UFC. I think that was really the only time. Yeah, I'm excited for it. It's just like a fight. Like, no matter what, there's no way that fight's not going to be entertaining. Somebody's probably going to go to sleep in the first round. And
exactly.
You know, Rampage is always an entertaining shit talker leading up to the fight. Fedor has that, you know, mystique around him. It's just Fedor, when it's all said and done, it's got to stand out in his head as like a little bit of like an asterisk. He never fought in the UFC. It never happened. Never materialized. Not even one fight, which is crazy to me. Mm. And it's just it's the reason I don't like. I'm sorry, but I was going to say it's the reason that I don't like. Like, I think Fedor is great, but if he never tested himself in the UFC, I feel like that's a blemish on his legacy and his career. And even if he came now, it's just too late. There's no turning back time.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I do kind of disagree, but I don't want to spend too long talking about Rampage and Fedor. I mean, it's a great fight, you know, and give my thoughts. You gave your thoughts. How about this? Let's go, because I'm just looking at these. There's a lot of points here on MMA. How about Harrington teases up on any of them? We give a quick thought each, and then we get through them all, kind of like a hot fire news segment.
Sure.
You give your point, I'll give my point. Harrington, you tee us up one by one, go through them. Give us the headline, hit us with it. Lucy's thoughts, my thoughts.
Why don't we have
alternate. One time go me first, one time Lewis first. You know.
Okay. Well, we're going to start with Bisping on this one. I don't know if you saw the news. Joanna and Jacek continues to go at Colby Covington with one of the wildest statements I've ever heard. I never wish any fighter to get hurt. I wish that Usman will beat his ass. I shouldn't say this because you always should support and never talk bad about teammates. Doesn't matter if you like them or not. Any thoughts on the Joanna versus Colby beef?
I don't think she said anything really controversial there, to be honest. I mean, she trains at the place. She sees all these politics going on. There's this whole thing now with Covington, Masvidal, and there's a few others involved. And of course, it's becoming, big news in the media. Anytime something like that, that's going to cause unsettlement in the gym, at the camp. There's a little atmosphere in the room. So therefore, then it starts affecting everyone else on the team. You know what I mean? It starts affecting the flow and the camaraderie and all this type of stuff, and ultimately affects other people in the gym. So I can understand why Joanna's getting a little pissed off, and she's well within her rights to wade in. She's a part of that team. She trains there. She understands the loyalty aspect. And there's Colby Covington going around talking shit, you know, starting wars with other people within the gym. So in essence, I agree with Joanna. But boom, Lewis, over to you.
We're going to need, for this, a music bed edited in underneath it. If it's a fast, quick fire thing, like, you know, like the ch-ch-ch-ch, All right? That's going to be under this the whole time. Just realize.
We should do that. We need to do that. That's a great idea.
100%. I'm just going to do it in post because then it doesn't cut your mic out, Mike.
Yeah, so, perfect. Good idea.
Look, I'm telling you right now, for me, I'm a team player, baby boy. If I'm on a team with Michael Bisping, Gas Digital, Team Believe You Me, I'm not going to go and fucking do an interview with Ariel Helwani and be like, hey, you know what? I really like broadcasting with these guys, but Harrington sleeps in the garden and smells like shit. It makes everyone uncomfortable. No, I'll say that to you guys. I'll say that to the believers. That's part of our world and our team. But to go and to cross a line and to disrespect the trust, there is no I in T-E-A-M. I just made that up. You cannot do that. Okay, and I believe that you want to cross the line, and the MMA gods will probably rain down some vengeance one day on her.
And I'm going to come right back at you, but how about this?
No,
to your point, I agree with what you said. With what you said, but you're wrong. You're wrong, because Colby's the first one that went to the media. He went to the media. It should be all kept in-house, under closed doors, in private. Don't air your dirty laundry in public, Nicole Arbor. Anyway, carry on.
Let me tell you something. Maybe you've never heard this phrase. It's an age-old phrase we have here in America. Two wrongs don't make a right.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
Moving on. Joe-ho Choi. Oh.
Shut up, Harrington. We'll fucking move on when we want to.
This is the speed round. Lewis, we're speeding.
Speed round, go, Harrington. Let's go, baby boy.
Doho Choi says that his military service restricts him from leaving the country of South Korea, but he would love to fight in the upcoming UFC Bosan card. Who, Luis J. Gomez, would you like to see the featherweight standout fight in his home country?
Who?
Korean Superboy, fight of the year 2017 against Cub Swanson?
I mean, Jesus Christ, Harrington. 145?
Yes, sir.
I want to see him fight Cyborg.
Yeah, hold on. Give me your like top fringe contenders at 145. You know, in the rank number 10 to about 20 mark. Who you got? Jesus, Harrington, the worst questions ever for a quick fire round. Fuck me. Start with a star-studded stuff first. Dropping a little McGregor talk. Maybe a Tyrone Woodley. Oh, no, it goes straight in for a guy. I didn't even know who he fucking was talking about. Come on, Harrington.
Hong Ding Dong, while not ready for a top 15 opponent, possibly should fight somebody in the top 15 to 25. So who would you say should be that guy? Harrington, pay attention.
I'm paying attention.
You're fucking fired. Get out. That's it. That was the last straw. It's over. I'm sorry.
God, I totally agree. I mean, what was that question? All right. Pretend that never happened. Start again. Harrington, over to you.
TJ Dillashaw says that the bantamweight still needs him, and he expects a title shot immediately upon suspension being lifted. Luis J. Gomez, what are your thoughts?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, look, how long was suspension? 2 years for steroids? No, you're not getting a title shot coming off of a suspension for steroids. You have to prove yourself. And believe me, we are in a business right now where you were given a punishment. Once the punishment is served, it's your job to go and... Hold on, we got to make it fast. Once your punishment is served, it's your job to go and prove yourself right again, but not by getting a title shot. A title shot is a reward, okay? And I would literally rather a guy that is less of a good fighter be there and get that shot than a guy that might be cheating or hasn't really been punished yet for cheating.
Here's a new element to the game as well. We have 60 seconds to wrap up our point. That's it. And then how much do you need it? Doom, 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 doom. Timer for the last 15.
We're
producing on the fly here.
Yeah, we're turning this into a game show.
We want the Twix music fades out the last 10 seconds. Doom, 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 doom. Fades in when we have 10 seconds left. Do your job.
You would have no idea. Whoa. As the
shut the fuck up. I said do it.
We're not asking for a lot. We just need mid-show production, okay? We need graphics. We need countdowns. We need sound effects and timers. I mean, Jesus Christ, Harrington, come on.
Imagine Rebecca just now when you were like, Beck, give me a coffee. She was like, but I can't, Michael. I can't get you a coffee. I got to do this other thing. Ooh. You'd be like, bitch, we're done. We're divorced. Get out. Bring Megan in.
I wouldn't go that far. You know, relax. All right. Harrington. Okay, so here's my answer. TJ Dillashaw, come on. What the hell? Get a grip, bro. You don't, unfortunately, blatantly take steroids like that. Get suspended for 2 years and then come back and get rewarded. I mean, I understand. And he's right. You know, he's one of the best in the world. And that's going to be a real chance for TJ to get redemption. Okay? It really is. If he can come back, get his belt back, apologize, own it, you know, and just go for it and say, listen, we all fuck up. We're all human beings. And get his belt back. Fair play. But you got to earn that right first. Ba-dum-dum.
And also, not for nothing, he's right in a certain sense. He is one of the only stars at bantamweight, one of the only guys with real brand recognition. You know, so he's not wrong about what he's saying, but there is a better way to get people to agree with your sentiment, right? Which is coming back, fighting clean, fighting the number one contender. No. We didn't hear the Jeopardy music yet. And proving yourself to be able to do it in a clean way. MMA fans have a short memory, short-term memory. So you'll be fine. You'll get right back there. But I don't think articulating it that way does him any favors.
Harrington? What is he doing? Are you there?
I'm trying to make up sound effects on the fly, Mike.
The sound effects is one thing, but the thing that comes above the sound effects, more important, is the questions. Without the questions, there's no need for the sound effects, you know. So you can't abandon the game to get the sound effects, otherwise the sound effects are pointless.
Okay,
Charfield?
Let's try this one. Demetrius Johnson won the ONE Championship Flyweight Grand Prix last weekend. We are approaching 1 year to the day since the first ever trade in major MMA. Gentlemen, who won the trade between Ben Askren.
Stop saying
and
one.
DJ.
He said one like 15 times in that intro.
It's not just that. I mean, I've seen the notes. There's a lot of MMA stuff on there. Some very interesting topics, okay? That's why I'm like, you know what? Let's just go through these quick fire. He starts off with, no disrespect, a question about some Korean guy that I'm not familiar with. Then he follows that up with TJ Dillashaw, okay? And then he goes straight into another guy, an even more, you know, yet smaller person, lesser frame, who's now fighting out in Japan, that is 125 pounds. You know, what about the stuff, the big new stuff in the notes? Can we go to some of that, Harrington?
Yeah, why is every person getting tinier and tinier with every topic?
No. Here's what he's trying to do. He's trying to show the world that he has the MMA prowess that he possesses. He wants to show, listen, I'm a real fan. I'm a badass. I don't want to talk about the mainstream media stuff. I want to talk about the hardcore. I want to talk about the undercard of the latest 1FC event that happened recently.
And
you know
I want to point this out. It's not that he has like MMA prowess or any knowledge. He's a loser. Like he sleeps on a park bench. The only thing he has to do is read some MMA notes, and it keeps him grounded in reality. We have other things going on, okay? Michael Bisping, he's got surgery. He's fucking Pelotoning. He's acting in movies. He's hosting Netflix shows.
I'm spending a lot of time ordering on Uber Eats. You know, it's very, very time consuming.
You don't even have to have a mistake in your order. If you order Uber Eats or DoorDash, just say they made a mistake and they're going to give you a credit. They don't check. It's an immediate thing. You can't do it too much. You can't do it too much. You just got to do it once in a while. You get another...
Every now and again.
Hey, Mike, let's just take a quick moment. We got to talk about BetDSI, which is a great sponsor, been in business for over 20 years. They are rated so high on all of these different business review sites, and they have a super easy to use and fast playing interface. I'm going to tell you right now, BetDSI is the one you've heard of before. Everyone has been using BetDSI, and I love using them. It's amazing. It makes me enjoy gambling. I'm not going to call some shady guy that's friends with Mike Harrington at the back of some Italian restaurant. I'm not doing that. I'm going to BetDSI.
Yeah, no, that's right. You want to go somewhere reputable that's been around for a long time, perhaps say in business for over 20 years with a reputation of fast payments on winnings. That's what you want to do. And listen, we talk about MMA predominantly on this. No better way to watch a fight than when you've got money involved. And obviously, we've got Wyman versus Reyes coming up at the weekend. So, you know, check out the odds on there. And if you feel confident about your pick, put some money down. You're going to enjoy the fight more. And if you're correct in your pick, you'll make some money as well. And if you do choose to do that, we've got a fantastic offer to just help you enjoy your experience and perhaps win some more money. If you go to betdsi.com and use the promo code BYM120, you get a 120% bonus match on your cash when you use it in the sportsbook. Of course, you use it to bet on a fight. You bet on any sporting event you want. Use the code BYM120 at betdsi.com. As I say, 120% bonus on your cash. So go out there and try and make some money. All right, Harrington, give us another question.
All right. California State Athletic Commission has officially beefed up their 15% rule. While it used to be, if you weighed in over 15% of your weigh-in weight on the day of the fight, you would no longer in future fights be able to fight at that weight class. Now, your fight will be pulled from the card entirely. What do you gentlemen think of the new ruling? Michael Bisping, let's start with you.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, I love the fact that they're trying to minimize the amount of weight cutting that's going on. Some of the critics of this are out there saying that you are stopping fighters from rehydrating. When they're not fully rehydrated, they have more chance of getting injured. The problem is that 15% is quite a lot. If you're 205 pounds, right, you weigh at 205, 15% of that weight is another 30 pounds. Mm. That's heavy, right? No, not many people are coming in at over 235. I did the math earlier, 185 pounds, that's 27 pounds. So that's that's 215. When I would cut weight to 185, that night I would eat like a pig. I would stuff myself. I'd have whatever I want. I'd treat myself. I'd drink a lot of fluids. I'd do IVs. I'd do all kinds of stuff. When IVs were legal, I'm talking about. And I still would never go to bed before 205. Over 205. Mm. So the fact that you've got a limit of 215, right? I mean, that's huge. So I understand people saying that it could make it dangerous, but I don't think that's ever going to happen because it's such a large margin over. So, and I respect the fact that they're trying to minimize the amount of people, the amount of weight that people are cutting. I got to run to the bathroom, guys. I'm really going to pee my pants.
All right, Mike, look, you go take a piss. Let me really quickly just plug a few things. If you guys love the show, obviously go subscribe on iTunes. Leave us a 5-star ranking, positive review on the iTunes channel. We love that. Love all the positive comments. Same thing with YouTube. We are rounding the corner now. We have surpassed 50,000 subscribers on the YouTube channel. The feedback you guys give us there is incredible. Please keep on doing that. If you guys are watching, we've been doing the live stream premieres, which I've been joining the chat once in a while as well. So go subscribe on our YouTube channel. And if you want every episode we've ever done, the latest 30 episodes are available on iTunes and YouTube. But you can get every episode we've ever done on demand at your fingertips at gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM. You get a 14-day free trial. You get to try it out for yourself. See if you like it. I promise you'll love it. And if you decide to keep the membership, you save $1.50 a month. But yeah, we love you guys listening. Go spread the word about the show as well. If you have a friend who loves MMA or not, just people who like podcasts really love the show. I love hearing that as well. Like, hey, dude, I'm not even an MMA fan. I just love podcasts, and I think you guys are really funny. So please, the feedback is very much appreciated. But go share the show with a friend or two. Take their cell phone. In fact, take your friend's cell phone while he's not looking right now, and just go to his iTunes to subscribe to our show and leave us a 5-star ranking. That's the best thing you could do as a fan, is steal from your friends and make them subscribe to our show without them even knowing.
And it will be the gift that keeps on giving. What else got, Harrington?
Well, this is kind of interesting. McGregor joked that Diaz and Masvidal were going to be fighting for the interim BMF title. Gentlemen, who do you think is the current BMF title holder if these guys were fighting for the interim?
Wow. I mean, I get it. He went from one extreme to the other. He went from talking about obscure people in the fight world to now mentioning in one question three of the biggest names. He went McGregor, Diaz, and the man of the moment, Masvidal. I mean, come on, Jesus Christ. And then you talk about an imaginary... You're talking about an imaginary belt, one that doesn't exist, and asking if it is the interim belt. It's not even a real thing. You're asking us to comment on McGregor's hypothetical question surrounding a hypothetical belt. I mean, I almost refuse to answer it because it's lunacy.
Well, do you want to do the... I can't do it.
We don't need to do the fast thing anymore. It's fine. Thanks, Harrington. I appreciate it. There's other things to talk about here.
I like the fast.
We've been doing it for a while. I got to be honest with you. This segment is now over. Oh yeah. Thank you, guys. Quick hits with Mike Harrington.
It means I don't have to hear you do that again. I'm in.
I want to talk about this. This is kind of interesting. So, what, Harry, you can actually fill me in because I don't even know the details of what Dylan Danis did. But I guess Dylan Danis, who I know you've had some choice words for in the past, Mr. Bisping, making fun of his fashion choices, which is not cool. But he, I guess it was a kid who was bullied. There's some viral video. What happened?
So there was a video a couple months ago, actually, of a kid getting bullied, surrounded by a bunch of kids and getting beat up. Dylan Danis popped up on social media saying that he would, he offered to train the kid.
Can we see the video real quick?
Yeah, give me one second here.
All right. Well, so keep on telling us while Brian pulls up the video. Go ahead.
Okay, this is the kid in the bathroom.
Okay, I don't know if I saw this video. Let's see it.
Yeah, I don't see it. I see Lewis full screen.
Here we go. So these kids surrounded.
Oh, you fucking asshole.
Yeah, they're scumbags. I gotta be honest with you. It's fine. It sucks. I gotta be honest with you. I think that those four kids would beat the shit out of Dylan Danis.
I don't disagree.
Dylan Danis versus those four inner city youth kids, just fucking wreck him. I mean, what is jiu-jitsu gonna do in that situation? You're getting jumped by four kids.
At that moment, I actually thought, listen, I, fair play to Dylan Danis and those assholes. I hope they get what's coming to them. And they probably will, because like that, you know, karma's going to come back and bite them in the ass. They're walking around. They're in New York City, which is not a, you know, it's not a pussy place. And if they're acting like badasses, they're gonna meet their maker one day. They're going to meet their match, because there's always someone bigger and stronger around the corner and more badass than you. And those little fucks, if I ever catch up with them, I'll give them a fucking kick up the ass. And anyone that knows them, you know, name and shame. But jiu-jitsu ain't going to help you there. Even if he was a fucking black belt, there was one kid and about seven bullies in there. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And all he would have done, unfortunately, in that scenario, was antagonize them. If he actually fought back, because he was going to lose that battle. Do you know what I mean? But I'm not saying don't fight back.
I agree with you. And the reality is, like, sort of in that moment, yeah, you're a kid. You're getting jumped by a bunch of kids in a fucking bathroom. Just get out of there. It, you know, it's better to, you know, if that situation, punching these kids and even, like, what are you pull guard? Then you got shit all over your back. You're in a bathroom. It's a terrible idea.
Well, here's what I was going to say. In that situation, jiu-jitsu ain't the one. I'm not saying don't fight back, because you got to fight back. You got to have your self-respect, right? I'm not saying cower up in a fucking ball. I'm not saying trying to run. But trying to fucking slap an armbar on one of them is not the way forward, okay? Punch one of those motherfuckers in the face as hard as you fucking can, and then straight away punch another one of them, right? And that's going to send a message, because most of those little pricks are wannabe tough guys. Otherwise, they would not be doing that. If they were comfortable in themselves as a person, as a man, they would not be picking on a kid, seven kids on one person. So they're all fucking pussies. And you punch one of them in the face and then punch another one in the face. Hold on. Number three doesn't want to necessarily get that, and they'll step back. And then when they realize that, hold on, there's not an easy target, that it's now someone that's going to fight back, someone that might potentially punch me in the face, they'll probably think, hold on a minute, this ain't worth it. Or the flip side. I spent years in hospital because they all tap dance on your head. But either way, you're going to go out fucking badass.
I mean, look, the reality is this, right? You're losing that fight every single time, right? So the advice that I would give my son in that scenario, and God forbid something like that ever happens to him. I mean, oh my God, you know, I'm getting enraged thinking about the idea that somebody would do that to my fucking kid. You know, the reality is this, like, yeah, hit him hard, hit him back, protect yourself, you know what I'm saying? But make sure they know every time they fucking touch you, they're getting hit. I mean, to be honest with you, four on one, I mean, I'm telling him to fucking do some crazy shit. 4-on-1, your life is in danger at that point. So do what the fuck you need to do to save your life. I don't care that it's 12, 13-year-old kids. Those kids are fucking hitting hard, dude. If that kid falls, hits his head on the corner of a sink, it's potentially life-threatening, dude. And it's really sad. And look, we fuck with Dylan Danis, whatever. I guess it is very nice of him to go and offer. What was the follow-up on that? So he offered him some sort of...
Yeah, hold on real fast. Just on the Dylan Danis thing, you know, I'm going to stay on this because I do want to talk about this. Obviously, I have a children myself, and I think it's important that people hear our views on it. But, you know, with Dylan Danis, I've never had really bad things to say. He just comes across like a bit of a tit, right? And maybe that's just him trying to hype himself. I don't know the guy. I've never met him. He could well be a very fucking nice person. But you can't deny that his whole presence, right, and it is just trying to copy the whole McGregor stance. It's a little cringe, just like fucking Henry Cejudo, and he gets called out on his cringiness, and he comes across as a bit of a tit. In reality, he might be the nicest person I've ever met, but on the presence that he puts out on social media, you can't, you know, it's his fault that he gets met with a little bit of, you know, douchiness.
Yeah. So what happened with he's giving him free classes or something?
So if you look here, this is the DM conversation between the two of them. He reached out and he said, I want to pay for membership to the closest jiu-jitsu gym nearest to you if you are interested. The kid responded, for real? Yeah, of course. Wow. Video broke my heart, my man. Sorry you had to go through that, but I got your back. Let's do this.
I just feel like he didn't need to post a screenshot of it to, like, get the accolades for it. He could have just done it, which is fine. It, you know, it's means to an end. It is what it is. If him getting accolades gets this kid free jiu-jitsu classes, which will help.
I mean, listen, you know, it does immediately take the genuineness out of the situation when you post it online, you know what I mean? But still, whatever, it's still a great thing, so I don't want to talk shit. Well done and fair play, you know. But for any kids out there, you know, I mean, for any bullies, you're a fucking asshole. Anyone that does that, I mean, take a look at yourself. I mean, what the hell are you doing? And if you're getting bullied, you know, as I said before, if you're getting bullied, they want an easy time. And if you and if they know that every time they come and pick on you, it's going to be a situation you're going to fight back, or you're just going to make you're not going to be an easy target. Eventually, they will leave you alone because that's what they want. They want someone that they can just pick on and have fun and try and think that they look cool to their friends and give you a dead arm or slap you in the face or talk shit, call you names. But if they're met with resistance every fucking time, eventually they'll go away. And I know it's hard and it's easy for me as someone that fought in the UFC to say that, and not everyone's as brave as that, but you can't allow it to go on. And if you can't, just can't bring it within you to do those kind of actions, then you got to talk to someone. You know, don't worry about coming across as a pussy because you can't fucking go through that shit on a day-to-day basis. Those motherfuckers.
I mean, to be honest with you, I thought we were going to take a different approach with this story. I was going to say to those four kids in the bathroom, if you guys want to join the Bisping Gomez school, we'll prepare you for that kid when he after he comes back from Dylan Danis jiu-jitsu lessons. We'll show you a few tricks.
I guarantee that jiu-jitsu is not the way forward. It's not. Teach that guy some Muay Thai. Teach him to elbow in the face. That's what he needed there. Close proximity, elbow. Give it a bite. Bite an ear off. Grab the nearest fucking chair. Hold it high above your head and say, I will smash this into any motherfucker's head that comes near me.
Take a bottle.
Simple as that.
Cut the motherfucker's face.
Jiu-jitsu. Street rules, right? Knee in the bollocks. Bite his fucking nose off, right? You know, just go crazy.
I agree. It was funny because it's basically a hack story that almost every kid has where their mom or dad tells them, like, hey, if there's somebody bullying you, punch them square in the nose. They're not going to want to come back the next day. They're going to go to the next guy, right? So that sentiment, it's very true, but I lived it because I was really bullied when I was a kid. I grew up in I don't even know if they call it this in England, but it would be considered white trash. I feel like it's only white people in England, so it's just trash. But this
it's
is like
not only white people in England, so you know that's very foolish of you. But I get it. I know you think England is a jolly old England, and we all drink tea with our little pinkies out, and you know, you think it's still like that. But God bless you. It's a very, very multicultural place. But go ahead.
So these kids in my neighborhood, white trash neighborhood, I was the only brown kid in the neighborhood, so they would literally bully me because I was brown. It was the most. You know, it's fucked up, really just fucked up. But just straight up like just garbage parents that teach their kids that that's okay. You know what I'm saying? Like you don't naturally ever feel that way. It comes from somewhere. And these kids would fucking jump me all the time. They would throw rocks at me. They would chase me. And I'm talking about like when I'm my son's age, I'm thinking about it. Like I was like seven. And I think about that now. I was like, if my son was fucking seven and there was these little motherfuckers in my neighborhood doing that to him, I'd go to jail. I would beat the shit out of these kids. There's no fucking doubt about it. No, there's no way people are throwing rocks at my fucking son ever in a million years. The reality is
been through it myself many, many times. See, that was the thing. This guy that I know that works for the UK office, he has called Ricky. He does this big anti-bullying campaign. And, and it's really awesome what he's doing. He's been trying to get me to help out, and I have to do that. Because I was telling him, same thing like you just said, I was bullied as well. And he was like, Mike, you don't understand how powerful that would be if you could come into some of these schools in England and just explain that. They'll take a lot of inspiration from that. And I think a lot of people at some point in their life go through bullying. When you're growing up, when you're a kid, maybe not girls. Well, girls probably do it in a very different way, you know, probably a much meaner way, but guys do it in a physical way. You know what I mean? Maybe you call your names, but generally, as you say, you know, it's kids beating someone up and
guys get it. The difference is, guys also, we also call each other names, but then we punch each other in the face. It's worse. We can say it. We don't have to pretend that fucking names on the internet are as bad as names on the internet, names in person, and a punch in the fucking nose. It sucks. I would rather the names.
The expression is literally sticks and stones will break my bones, okay? But names will never hurt me. I have had sticks and many stones come at me many fucking times after the names. I get the sticks, stones, and the name. You get the names. I get the sticks and the stones as well.
Yeah. So whatever. I guess, men are, we have the advantages in life. So, but when this happened, I remember in my neighborhood, there was all these kids and my mom just got sick of me coming home, being beat up and crying. And it's one of the only things that she did. I got to be honest with you, because she was kind of a shitty mom and abusive in her own right. But it was one of the only things that she did that I look back and I go, that was really good, because she literally drove me to each one of the kids' houses. And she just made me, it was old school. It was like UFC 3 rules. It was four fights in one day. I straight up got into four one-on-one matches with my mom standing there with her arms fucking crossed, watching me fight these kids. And I remember, like, it was, you know, just dumb kid fights. Like, I'd punch the one kid and then it was over. He'd start crying. But then the last kid, Nick Giacalli, was like the oldest kid who was like also the dickiest to me. He was like the biggest, like, fucking, he was like 2-3 years older than me. And I remember we squared up right in front of my mom and he beat the shit out of me. He fucking, dude, he wrecked my shit to the point where I'm like tapping out to strikes when my mom's just like, all right, get off him. It's fine.
Yeah, well, maybe your mom was enjoying it slightly. She's like, okay, I'm going to go take him down to see this guy. And I know for a fact, he's got no fucking chance. No. Go, come on, Lewis, stand up for yourself. She's standing there smoking a cigarette going, yeah, you little shit. Be cheeky to me, will you? Yeah.
All right, Mike, let's take a quick second and talk about CBDMD, which is such an incredible company. CBD, obviously, being the all-natural ingredient taken from hemp plants, and it really does help with so many different things. Just if you have some sort of physical, mental, psychological, emotional affliction, anything that's bothering you in any way, I would say do a little research and see if CBD can help. I know it's great for inflammation. It's great for anxiety. I take it for anxiety in the morning. I use the Recover after my workouts when I'm really sore the next day. It does such an incredible job. CBD has honestly become somewhat of a miracle drug in a lot of circles.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, come on, listen, it's all everybody's talking about these days. I fortunately, you know, I have an abundance of CBDMD products and I will be using them after my surgery on Thursday. You know, as soon as I can, I'm going to be applying that Recover constantly and taking their drops, etc. Good news is for people that this matters to, CBDMD, all their products are sourced from organic, non-GMO, vegan hemp plants grown right here inside the USA. Obviously, no THC, no high, and the highest quality of CBD you can get on the market and the best prices per milligram. So listen, if you want to improve your general well-being or you have an injury, anxiety, whatever it is, please give this a try. So go to CBDMD.com and use the promo code BYM20. You're going to get 20% off your initial order. So please, once again, CBDMD.com, promo code BYM20 for 20% off. You're welcome. All right, where were we? What else we got? What else is going on in the world?
So obviously we're going to get our picks for this week and we'll talk a little bit about UFC Boston. But, you know, another fight booking, which is sort of interesting, two former opponents of yours are fighting in bare knuckle fighting and they're rematching. Vitor Belfort, Wanderlei Silva. Interesting. I mean, Wanderlei's fought bare knuckle before, right? There's like videos of Wanderlei fighting old school bare knuckle Brazilian fucking.
Yeah. No, for sure. It was around forever. That's, you know, and a lot of Brazilians, old school, that used to do Vale Tudo. I love the way anything like that, you turn around, you look at Harrington, like Harrington's going to have, like I've literally spent my entire life studying mixed martial arts, Vale Tudo, doing martial arts since I was 8 years old. And you turn to Harrington that doesn't train any form of martial art, but has a laptop and a bandana and say, Harrington, he used to fight bare knuckle, correct? Even though I fought both of these people, not only have I spent my life doing martial arts, I have literally studied each of them in fine detail. I've had a team of coaches sitting there analyzing their footage, their history, what they used to do at the start of the career, how their styles developed and evolved over the course of their career. But no, you're right. Go to Harrington.
Currently an MMA analyst professionally. You spent 20 years fighting professionally. There may be not a single person in the world who would be better to ask their perspective on this specific matchup besides you. But Harrington, please.
If you were asking somebody like about, I don't know, law or a piece of history, it's like bringing in a Yale professor, do you know what I mean, on the subject. I am like a Yale professor in terms of mixed martial arts knowledge. But yes.
No. You're like, it's like a Supreme Court justice who wrote the law, who really understands the nuance in and out of it. But then I'm just going to like some mall security guard and being like, excuse me, can you explain this to me, sir?
I'm the Stephen Hawking in MMA as this is going on. With my fucking surgeries, I'll be in a wheelchair in a couple of days. You know what I mean? But no, fine. In fact, I want to know. Harrington, give us your thoughts, please. What's going on?
A little past their prime.
No, but seriously, go on. Break it down for everyone.
Well, actually, it hasn't been accepted yet. Wanderlei just says that he would like the rematch after officially signing with Bare Knuckle
FC. I don't like the way that he said Wanderlei.
Sorry, Wanderlei. Come on, man. Give me a break. he says that he wants the rematch. Obviously, they fought once before. And he wants to do it in Bare Knuckle FC as the, you know, big new signing for that company. It makes the most sense. It's one he wants to get back.
Yeah, I mean, good for them. I'm not excited about it. I probably won't even watch it. Both of those guys, you know, they're former opponents of mine that, you know, most of the time that you bury the hatchet, but I don't particularly like either of them. You know, they were both guys that were heavily, heavily into performance enhancing drugs. So that, you know, I mean, I don't care necessarily. Sometimes somebody had a history and they test positive or whatever, but those two were like fucking poster boys for it. You know what I mean? Vandalay was running away from tests in Las Vegas. Vito, we all know about that. Do you know what I mean? And the pair of them are also very, very preachy as well. So I don't have the nicest things to say about either of them. I will say this. I'm happy for them, though. I'm still happy for them. I can put that to one side as a fighter, and I can see guys that are past their prime, past their UFC career, and they need to earn a living. And this is, you know, their bread and butter. This is their number one skill in life. I'm happy to see that they can go out there, still fight, still get paid, still put a show on for people. Just because I have a personal issue, you know, with them doesn't, you know, I can see the bigger picture, and I'm still happy for them.
I want to hear a Vanderlei Silva podcast. That's what he should do. It's like,
I went to the podcast. They got the equipment to the microphone to work.
That's a pretty good Vanderlei. That was a fucking, that was the only impression I've ever done. And I thought it was spot on. So thanks, everyone. Little interesting fact, little interesting tidbit. Today, 21 years to the day, October 16th, 1998, Vanderlei Silva fought Vitor Belfort and lost, knocked out in 44 seconds of round number one at the hands of Vitor Belfort. That was like the big thing. Vanderlei was coming in and it was like he was the fucking killer, right? That was sort of a big disappointment for Vanderlei.
Yeah, that was it was a punching charge. Vitor exploded on him and knocked him all the way back across the other side of the octagon, then unloaded with like a 10-punch combination against the fence. The fight was over before it even started, and it was a big coming out party for Vitor Belfort. It was like, holy shit, look at the speed of those hands. And he was the man back in the day. Clearly juiced out of his fucking mind, though. He was like the Incredible Hulk at one point.
Yeah.
But yeah, there you go. As I said, I'm happy for them both. I'm always happy. See fighters still being able to get paid for what they do. Good for them. What else we got?
Well, look, we got to wrap just somewhat soon. I want to take a little bit of time and talk about UFC Boston this weekend so we get some picks for the main event and co-main event.
Yeah.
Maybe save some questions for later in the week because we don't have that much time left here in the studio. So, let's talk about that really quick. UFC Boston. Love Boston, by the way. One of the coolest towns to perform comedy in. I will be actually there this winter. Luis J. Gomez presents luisjgomez.com. Get tickets to all of my tour dates. I'm going to be going everywhere. But here, let me pull up the actual fight card.
Yeah, so it's Chris Weidman versus Dominic Reyes. And Dominic Reyes is undefeated. I'm just looking at Chris Weidman's record here as we're talking. I mean, you got to respect Chris Weidman, right? Honestly, me and Weidman, we went back and forth when I was fighting and he was the champ and then I was the champ. And, you know, we were both talking a bit of shit, but he's a good guy. Right, he is. He's a good guy. I've got nothing. I've never heard anything bad about him other than him talking shit and other than him making fun of my eyes one time on Twitter and posting some fucked up pictures. That was a little shitty. But other than that, you know, we were just competitors and I wish him the best. And as I say, he's a good guy. You got to admire him. I mean, from when he was a champion, he lost to Luke Rockhold, then he lost to Yoel Romero, then he lost to Gegard Mousasi, right? Winning a 3-fight losing streak. But look at those guys, Rockhold, Romero, Mousasi. He got knocked out in all three of those fights. But he's taking on top of the food chain guys time after time after time. And as I say, lost three of them. Then he fights Kelvin Gastelum, wins in the second round by arm triangle choke. He wins that. Then he fights Jacare Souza. So, I mean, he's fighting only the top guys. So that, and I'm saying this to kind of cushion what I'm about to say, because I think this is a bad fight for him. But again, I respect him so much, you know, fighting down at middleweight, fighting his last fight. Well, I mean, Jesus Christ, even before, I mean, here's his last fights. Anderson Silva, Lyoto Machida, Vitor Belfort, Luke Rockhold, Yoel Romero, Gegard Mousasi, Kelvin Gastelum, Ronaldo Jacare Souza, right? They're the biggest names in the middleweight division, right? And yes, he's 1-4 in his last five fights. So he's going up to middleweight, sorry, to light heavyweight. But he's taking on a guy that I think is a bad matchup for him. But I respect the fact that this guy isn't looking for a tune-up fight at light heavyweight. He's going straight away into the deep end, taking on one of the top contenders. And if he can do it, just like Darren Till taking on Gastelum, he's doing the same thing, right? If you can pull it off, you can do it. You're instantly a contender in that weight class. I respect it, but I don't think it's going to be a good night for him, Lewis.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, Weidman, I think he's notoriously known as being a bigger middleweight, you know. I think, you know, the problem with that many losses, you know, at 185, reinventing yourself at 205 and going against an undefeated guy where there's not, I mean, look, I think there were some people that thought he lost the decision to Uzdemir, right? I think that was like super close. It was a split decision. So I guess there's something there, but at the same time, it's like, if I'm his team, I'm like, dude, you're moving up to light heavyweight. There are guys at light heavyweight that are probably easier matchups with at least a little more data on how to beat them that I would have taken. But for that exact reason, yeah, Chris Weidman, bad motherfucker. But I, what are the odds on this one, Harrington? Do we know? Because this would be a fight that I would definitely bet on Reyes.
Yeah, well, hold on. So. Yeah, I just want to talk about Reyes a second. So if you look at the record of Reyes, Volkan Uzdemir, Vincent Prue, Jared Cannonier. See, back in the day when Reyes beat Jared Cannonier, that was just like Jared Cannonier. He'd lost some fights at heavyweight, came down to light heavyweight. Now if you see him in the middleweight division, he's doing fucking huge things. So that makes that win even better. Prior to that, Joachim Christensen, he's 6'4". He's got a 77-inch reach. Right now, he's not the best wrestler, so that's going to be the game plan for Chris Weidman. It has to be, because I think if he stays on the feet, Reyes, it's just a bad stylistic matchup for him if he can't take him down to the floor. As I say, I respect Weidman's balls here, stepping up and doing this, you know. And I'm not saying it's going to be one-way traffic. Weidman's as tough as they fucking come, and he'll make it a fight. But I'm saying I'm giving an early pick, I'd say Dominic Reyes wins this fight. But go on, Harrington, what were the odds?
Well, if you go over to our buddies at BetDSI, you can get Dominic Reyes at -169 right now.
And what is Weidman?
Weidman, you're getting back at around +140, +150.
So, yeah, Reyes is the favorite in the fight, and I think rightfully so. Yeah. Look, I'm excited. I've always liked Weidman. It became weird because I became friends with you. So then anybody you were beefing with, I was like, oh, I can't be fans of them anymore. All right, sorry, GSP, my favorite fighter of all time. Go fuck yourself, you French-Canadian pussy.
Hey, you did our podcast back in the day, let's remember. No, of course, that's what I mean. Everybody likes Weidman. He's a very likable person. He is, and he's a blue-collar guy, and he's worked his fucking ass off, and everything he's got, he's earned. You know, and I wish him the best. And, you know, I'm pulling for him. I am. I'm not saying he can't do it. I'm not going to say it's going to be a one-sided affair. I'm just thinking I'm leaning towards Reyes in this fight. And, of course, so is everybody else because he's a big favorite at the bookies. It makes sense.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then it'll be
let's take a moment just real quick and talk about the co-main event, which I think is great. This fight's happening, obviously, it was 3 weeks ago. It was so recent that we saw Jeremy Stephens and Yair Rodriguez. Their fight stopped prematurely just seconds into their opening round due to an eye poke on Jeremy Stephens. Jeremy Stephens obviously couldn't continue. Yair very, very upset, very passionate, angry, blah, blah, blah. Didn't want to take the fight again. They rebooked it very quickly. Thankfully, thank God they did. And to be honest with you, now probably people are even more excited to see this fight now. It was the main event before, right? In Mexico?
Yeah. It was the main event down in Mexico, obviously called main event now. We spoke about it at the time, saying they should rebook this fight quickly. They've done that. I'm really happy for them. That was a smart move. And still, for the public as well, it's still fresh in everybody's mind. So the beef has real, you know, you feel like you're almost part of it because you saw this happen, play out in real time. And this week, I took a screenshot of this early because I wanted to read this out when we talked about this fight. Jeremy Stephens speaking to a reporter yesterday, I think it was, on about how personal this beef was. And they asked him how he's feeling. And here's what Jeremy Stephens said. He said, "I feel good, cool as a cucumber, calm like a bomb, ready to go off. I'm going to kill this kid. If he don't die, it doesn't count." Jesus. And I thought that was a fuck. Powerful statement. He says, "If he doesn't die in this fight, it doesn't count." That's what I'm thinking. It's always personal. It's always personal when you fight. This kid's trying to take money off my kid's table. What if I was coming to your house, taking food off your table and smacking your kid? That's the way I look at it. How would you feel if I was to do that? Personal? Fuck yeah, it's personal. It's a fight. But yeah, I thought that was powerful stuff. I like it. I can't wait for this fight.
Yeah, I mean, look, you don't want actual serious death threats in MMA, but to be honest with you, I love when it happens. I love when they throw one out, and it has become very personal. And to be honest with you, likely going to be a better fight. Now that it's a 3-round fight, look, neither of these guys have issues with cardio, But these guys can really let it all go. It's another interesting little fact is in Mexico, it was at altitude. Harrington was breaking down the numbers for me before the show. But now it's basically sea level.
Hold on. Harrington was breaking down the numbers. But what about the guy that actually commentated Mexico City event? No notes, no nothing in front of me. I'll tell you, Mexico City is at an altitude of 7,250 feet. Okay, there you go. There's the numbers. Breaking it down for you, baby boy.
Now, hold on. What's Boston's altitude now?
Well, that's sea level because it's right by the ocean. So therefore, I'm going to say it's a difference of 7,200 feet. I think maybe 50 feet above sea level, perhaps. What do you think?
Okay, well, you know what? I'm going to take your word for it.
I've never been to Boston, though, so I don't know. Maybe it's not
Boston's
sea level,
fucking cool town, dude. You'd have a good time in Boston, Michael Bisping. You would move there. You would not leave Boston. You would get hammered. You'd be like, these are my fucking people, and you would just let them carry you off into some fucking crazy Irish
pub.
Have
less than 24 hours to make it happen because tomorrow my life changes forever. You know what I mean? So I'm on the next plane to Boston. Let's go. Let's make it happen.
Until he gets a painkiller addiction, which is definitely going to happen as soon as the doctor prescribes him fucking Oxycontin. Nope. So good luck, Michael Bisping.
No, it's not. Trust me. I'm limiting all that type of stuff. Yes, of course, I'm going to have to take some pain medication, but I got to be careful with that shit. So honestly, be a different me. But back to the fight. I can't wait for this one. It's awesome. It's great. The only thing is, as you said, it's definitely going to deliver, which I agree. I think it will. The only danger is that perhaps there's so much at stake now and it's got so personal and they've been in an octagon with each other twice now that they both might be very cautious and hesitant to make the first move. But I think once they get past that initial feeling out process, yeah, it's going to be a hell of a fight.
They're killers. They're both killers that without any heat, without any fucking fuel thrown on the fire, without anything being personal, neither of these guys have ever been in a boring fight, right? So now with the passion and the energy and the anger, I couldn't imagine. But you never know, dude. Sometimes you think that and then it shits the bed because whatever, the nerves, they've built it up maybe in their mind so much. But I could not imagine this not being an early fight of the year candidate.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you look at the fight with Francis Ngannou and the Black Beast, Derek Lewis, everyone was so excited for that. And that was like the biggest example of a fight that everyone was hyped for that shit the bed. It was like one of the worst fights maybe you'll ever see. Maybe the worst. Like, there was hardly any punches thrown whatsoever. But this one won't do that. Listen, I can't speak about Yair Rodriguez as much because I don't know him personally. But I know Jeremy Stephens. You know what I mean? I've been around him a lot. You know, I've partied with him a few times. I just know the type of man he is. I know the cloth that he is cut from, right? He's a wild man, right? He's a natural fighter. He's a proper fighter. He's the type of guy that if shit goes down for real on the streets, Jeremy Stephens, you want him on your fucking side. He's that type of guy. So regardless of the moment, regardless of the pressure, he's going to fucking throw down, which means, yeah, Rodriguez has no choice but to react. So I give you the Michael Bisping guarantee that this fight will be potential fight of the night. They're all potential fight of the night.
I will give you the Michael Bisping guarantee that this will potentially be rain in the next month.
Yeah. Potentially.
All right. So look, this has been a great show. We're going to wrap this one up. We'll do questions. Maybe we'll get a very questions heavy show later on in the week while you're light up. Hopefully we can make that happen. No guarantees, but stay tuned for that.
If you want to do one on Saturday, right? We'll see how it is. And you know, I might be a little woozy, but you know, I won't be going anywhere. I am not leaving this house for some time. So if you want to do one on Saturday, let me know how your time is fixed and shoot me a text.
Doggy, it's guaranteed. If you'll tell right now, I don't want to announce it to the fans and then we don't do it and they're upset. But a third episode this week would be pretty dope. We can get that in. I will make it happen. I will 100% guarantee. I will come down to the studio. We will make it happen. Michael Bisping, I'll make sure he takes extra pills before the show so he gets all wonky and says crazy shit. It'll be a show.
Saturday.
Saturday it is.
Saturday, let's do it. 100% guaranteed. All right then, well, it has been a fun one. And thanks for listening, everybody. Lewis, over to you.
All right, that's it. You don't have to throw it at me after you say goodbye.
All right, well, go fuck yourself then. Bye, guys.
Back to you, Michael. And back to you.